Are you ready to ski the greatest snow show on snow? Are you eager to challenge yourself in a new way? Do you want to discover what Berkey fever is all about? If you answered yes, the 42nd annual Swix American Birkebeiner is the race for you, and now is the time to take the challenge, ski the adventure. That's what the American Birkebeiner website says. It's over 50K ski race from Cable to Hayward. They've got classic and freestyle courses, and it attracts over 10,000 skiers, including Grandpa Jan Horak from Tofte, Minnesota, who has skied far more Birkebeiners than anyone else in northern Minnesota, I would guess. And so, Jan, we really are happy to welcome you here in the studio to share some of your stories about the American Birkebeiner in Hayward. How many have you done?
36 right now. I missed Salt Lake City Olympics because I went to see John Bauer ski, and his dad was there the first week. He couldn't get out of school the second week, so I got his tickets plus his place in the house. So, and I thought for sure
couldn't pass that up.
Yeah, Eckel was going to pass me because I dragged Dave Eckel from Grand Marais. He himself is a legend.
Got a lot of Berkeys under his
belt. He does, and he started in 78. I started in 77, and I dragged him down in 78, and he got the Berkey fever and fell in love with it. And you notice, Dave, he always has to have a good-looking pickup truck and a new pair of skis and boots. And
Those are the important things in life.
Exactly. That's his life. So we go way back, and over the years, I'm glad he switched back to classic now. So
he has, good.
Yeah, right. Rather than skating, so we can kind of get a competition going down the line.
And you say he came a year after you started, and that would mean that if he didn't miss the Salt Lake, he's got the same number as you have.
Exactly, except he came over, and I don't know if nerves got to him or he got sick or what, but he couldn't ski. And I don't know if he jumped into the Coeur d'Alope or he didn't even ski one year. He was there.
Oh, okay.
And I think maybe the flu even. He felt so bad. So
you're still ahead of him.
By one. And I keep looking over my shoulder because I think one of these times he's going to conk me just so we can get up to there. But but we're good friends, and he always calls me when he goes by my house when he's heading to Duluth, the cities. He always says, "Hey, Captain, what's the wax?" Here it's August 30th and 80 degrees outside, and I'm supposed to tell him what the wax is.
Well, you mentioned the Bauer family, and I know that's an important part of your Berkey experience and your skiing experience. And John Bauer was an Olympian.
Three times,
and really did well out in Salt Lake that year. Maybe the best of any American since Bill Koch, I think.
Yeah, he did.
And tell us about your connection at the Birkebeiner with the Bauer family.
Well, I think when you have something so close like the Berkey is, I don't know if I would have done 36 if I lived in New England or out in California or whatever, because you have to fly and it's money and being fairly frugal. But because it's in our backyard, you have to give it a shot. And I know the Kruger family in Tofte. There, Steve Kruger's brother, Rod, was living in Drummond. So I ran over to Joyce Kruger's. I said, "Do you have Rod's number? Because if I'm going to do that first Berkey in 77, I know I have a free place to stay."
Yeah, you were always good at finding a free place.
Free place. You have to find that. So anyway, the first 3 or 4 years I stayed there. And then it one of those years, it's like grandma's marathon. There's a chance to have a party, even if you aren't taking part in the actual run or the ski, let's party. Well, I show up at Rod's about 11 o'clock, and my God, the cold duck is on the table, the beer's on the table, and there are about 15 people there. And I'm going, uh-oh, bad news. Well, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm finally figuring out, I guess my spot is the rug in the living room. And there another gal comes walking in. She says, "I'm skiing tomorrow. Where am I supposed to sleep?" I said, "You can have the sofa." And I said, "No problem." And so anyway, her name was Chris, and she was from Green Bay. Well, about 10 minutes later, she says, "I'm so upset with this partying. Do you like back rubs?" And I said, "I do." "Well, I'll trade you. If you give me one, I'll give you one." I said, "Hey, I'm in." So anyway, back rubs it was. This is 3 in the morning at 6:30. We get up, and we have to get ready and go to the race.
Yeah, the logistics of that event are phenomenally complicated.
They are, they are.
You got to get on buses, you got to drink water so that you're hydrated, but then you have no place to go to the bathroom when you're on the bus, and takes you forever to get there. How do you deal with that?
Well, I know
nowadays.
And the thing is, for me, before I get on the bus, I always find the can standing there, and you do your thing. I know, and before the buses, even back in 78, there was a traffic jam, and in 78, that would have been the fifth Berkey, and the people are all pulling in to Telmark at the same time. You can hear the announcer, 10 minutes to the start, and kabang, the gun goes off.
And you're not at the start.
And you're not at the start, and none of the hundreds of cars in front of me or behind me. So everybody in a mass exodus pulled their car off the road as far as they could, grabbed their skis, started running, and bang, you get in the race. And that was it, and that's where the cars were when you came back after the race. And somebody, I guess they blamed it on the Norwegians jumping, but I don't know. You know,
was that the year that happened?
It could have been. Yeah. Could have been. So, but anyway, after staying at Rod's, then I found out a guy I played football with at Gustavus has a cabin on Lake Owen. So we had another free cabin for about 5 years. But unfortunately, if you show up and it's 0 degrees outside, it's about 10 degrees inside. And I'm bringing all of my high school kids that were on the cross-country team, the Rosenquist, the Clothier. Nadine Mackey came, I know, Sue Scroyne, and they all wanted to ski the short race. Well, they get to this cabin. I said, "Bring a warm sleeping bag, and you can see your breath in the cabin." And they're going, "What is this?" And I said, "Hey, this is North Shore. Relax. We'll get the fire going in a fireplace of all things, no wood stove. And then we go and get our bib and we stay a few hours at Telmark Lodge looking around. The kids are enjoying everything, the different venues. And looking at new skis. And then we'd come back and we'd get a good night's sleep."
And I happen to know some of those kids in the early 80s, that what you're talking about then, did well in that.
Did well.
Got some hardware.
They did. And Dave Hilfiger, I gave him a ride a couple of years. Jerry Jackson had moved to Duluth, and he needed a ride, so he called up. So everybody always knew, if you needed a ride, I'll be going.
You had the reputation of arriving fairly late in the evening on Friday, though.
Very much so, because we were still renting cabins, unfortunately, because we're looking at 3 kids in college. Once they got done with college, that's it. So now I can leave nice and early for the Berkey. So, yeah. So.
But I remember one year that I want you to tell folks about, and we are talking with Jan Horak of Tofte, Minnesota, and we're talking about the American Birkebeiner, which the 42nd version of it comes up next weekend. Next Saturday is the Berkey. There are a lot of other events, but Saturday is the Berkey. And Jan is telling us some of the stories about the Berkey. Jan, the story about you that I remember the most is the year you tried to win the bronze broom. Do you remember that?
Of course you remember that.
Why don't you tell us about what the bronze broom is and what happened on that day?
Yeah, they always gave it to one of the slowest skiers.
Not one of the slowest skiers, the slowest.
The slowest, but I found out skiing with, it's amazing that the Berkey, the pictures, the clips on the TV, you always see the good skiers. To have somebody be out on that trail for 10 hours, you cannot believe the technique.
Yeah.
There is no technique for a lot of those people. For a lot of them, that's the first time they've been skiing.
And listeners understand that Jan is an excellent skier, and but this year he decided to
I had a sore back, my back from I went through the slush and in the Finlandian Bemidji, and the last word was from Duluth. If I show up Monday, they'll fuse my fourth and fifth lumbar, and I won't have any more problems. Well, I did a little quick research on back surgeries. Try yoga, try skiing, try walking, do what you want, and that would be the last resort. And I just...
So you decided this year, that year, you weren't in the greatest shape to do your normal Berkey, so you were going to be the last person to finish.
Yeah, be the last person or near the last. Or I was just going to take my time. When I got to a first aid tent, I would lay down in a cot, take a nap for half an hour, do my knee and my back exercises, and eat a little, and then I'd go on to the next, this and that, on and on. Well, I started looking at my watch, and I'm going, my gosh, I'm going to be sent on a bus. They pull a fence across the trail, and the bus is right there, and just like cattle, they herd you into the bus.
Yeah, if you haven't reached a certain point by a certain time.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. So I missed one by about 3 minutes, and I'm skiing with this Marilyn Dawson from Madison, and we're talking skiing, and she said, I got on the bus last year. She said, I don't want to get on the bus this year. I said, we have one more, and I said, I think it's 6 o'clock or 6:30, and then we're there, and I said, well, I'm going to have to leave you and get ahead and get up to that gate. Otherwise, I'm going to be on the bus. Anyway, I made it up to the gate, and the guy's just pulling the fence across. And I said, there's a lady behind me. She's really sweet. Marilyn Dawson from Madison, Wisconsin. She didn't make it last year, and she's about 5 minutes behind me. And the guy looked at me, said, there's our last skier this year. So he closed the fence. He put all the people on the bus. When Marilyn Dawson came, he led her through. And I skied with her in all the way to the end. She would take her skis off at every hill and walk down. And then put them back on and ski. And that's what you get in the back. That's why you're out there 10 hours. And I'll never forget, I came around the corner with her and you, Dick, and Eckel and Kennedy are just going into the awards, and you see me coming, and you go, what the heck are you doing out here? And so I feel real...
I remember that very well. And I remember Marilyn getting the Bronze Broom Award and being and you standing there cheering for her.
Oh, yeah. And she just looked in a fog, a daze. I mean, here you have hundreds of people going nuts because she's the Bronze Broom winner.
Yep. And that's skiing in the dark, too.
You know. And we did have two snowmobiles following us, so I've never had the thrill of skiing in snowmobile lights before, but that year I did. So, and I don't remember exactly what year that was, but I did figure it out today because of my journals, but that was quite a year.
Yeah.
I remember the year you and I were driving down with Kathy, and we hit the lake effect snow on the South Shore, and a lady in front of us went in the ditch, and she had two kids, and you pulled over, we got her out of the car, took her down to the next town, and she had to call people, and we sat there until she was taken care of.
Being a little late. Well, that's the kind of guy you are.
Well, you were the driver. And, so every year it seems like there's something. I know one year I lost an alternator. Another year coming back, I lost my timing chain on my escort wagon. And I had to stay in Iron River Motel. There's no plowing at this motel because it's all snowmobiles. Mm-hmm. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, after I have skied to Berkey, I'm sound asleep until about 20 snowmobiles from all these different rooms come pulling in. Luckily, I had gotten hold of Dave Eckel, and he picked me up the next morning to take me home, and I hitchhiked back about 3 days later to get my car when they put a new timing belt in. But the Berkey, you can always count on something.
Well, you get the impression, folks, that there's a lot more to the Berkebeiner than just skiing.
Just skiing, exactly.
So, And we never did get an answer to my question about the Bauer connection. With the Bauers.
1983, the Bauers, the 1982, they were starting to ski. Mm-hmm. And they came up to the North Shore, and they had called Lutzen, and Lutzen Ski Hill said, "We have all kinds of trails." They went up there. There weren't any trails groomed at all. Yeah. And Bill Bauer was a little upset, and he walked to the chairlift and said, "Hey, do you know where we can cross-country ski?" And they and he, the, whoever was running the chair said, "You should go to Cobblestone Cabins, talk to Jan Horak, because he's a local skier." They came down, and that was the start of a lifelong friendship.
And you, I know you were impressed by John Bauer skiing right from the beginning. He wound up winning three state titles, I believe.
Two state titles. Yeah, it's junior, senior year.
Yeah.
Bauers came to ski. The next week, we went around the 27K picnic loop. John Bauer came, and his parents said he was on the wrestling team. He was 4-4, 4 wins, 4 losses. He didn't work up a sweat, and he hasn't really skied much, and he was ahead of us the whole time. So the next morning we got up, I said, "John, can I take your pulse?" His pulse was 36, resting. And I'm going, I think this guy is alive. I mean, there's a natural right there. You have a pulse like that for being running, for skiing, this and that.
Well, he wound up being an Olympic skier, and then the Bauers ultimately built a cabin over near Hayward.
Near Hayward. They bought the land. And Herb Wills from up the Caribou in his sugar bush there, Herb was working for me in 83, and we both went over, and 14 hours one day we helped frame that cabin up. So I have a nice accommodation, and the price is right.
That's
and
great.
So we get together
Bill
every
and
year.
Nancy Bauer are good friends of yours, I know.
They are.
So you missed the start. Well, we got to wind things up here. I guess we're running low on time, or we go a little bit longer with a couple more things. Did you ever talk about waxing and any issues you had with waxing when you could do classical skiing?
Oh man, every year it seems to be that Berkey. I know you were there on the cold one. I think you gave my wife your balaclava or something, and we all got frostbite that year. Very, very cold weather, it's easy, you know, green wax, and no problem. But it's when it gets up to 30, 40, 50, 60. I've skied that race, the early one, where there was water all over the second half of the course. Yeah. And the nice thing one year, I'll never forget that party afterwards. We finished in Cable. Everybody's out grilling and selling the brats and this and that. Everybody has their beer in the cooler. All the guys from Two Harbors, Erky Haru and Helmer, and, you know, just the guys from the range. In the old days, I enjoyed that because everybody that was a skier was there, and you knew them. Yep. And now today, it's rare. You can ski, well, Saturday, 55K, I'll be able to count on one hand, if I'm lucky, how many I know. It's a turning of the guard, and I guess we're getting older, too.
Yeah, we are. I don't recognize quite as many folks over there. So. Did you skate the race sometimes too?
Just once the year. It was only a half because they didn't have enough snow.
Oh yeah.
And I did try, and it was about an hour and a half, and I said, "Oh man, this isn't too bad." But the skating bothers my lower back,
so I
stay away from that. The classic.
Well,
is
now
so
it's
rhythmic.
Back to the point where the classic skiers really have a good option because you have a separate course, right?
Up to 28K we do, and a nice family from Eau Claire. A matching grant, $60,000, and they collected over $125,000 to make the classic track next to the skating track. And we're all hoping someday the next 28 or 27K gets done the same way. So, that's what has brought
really,
back the
really
people
cool.
again.
Yeah.
And more classic every year, which is
that's
fun.
That's really nice to see. And they can put a beautiful track in nowadays with modern grooming equipment. Is there anything else, any specific things you wanted me to cover that I didn't
No,
we've got a million things.
Yeah, no, I would just like to say that, you know, everybody has their passions in their life, whether it's gardening, biking, whatever. And I called Charlie Nelson today. I said, Charlie, what year did you do it when you hit all those logging trucks? He says, I think that was 76. But he said, and he's going to be 85. Uh-huh. And I said, Charlie, why are you still skiing? He says, you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. So I guess that's one thing, whether it's the bird, whether it's walking around the block, whatever, I think in this day and age we have to keep moving. And I'm that's one of the things I'm proud. I still have my own hips, my own knees, and you know, the guys at the resort now my age are showing up. Oh, Horak, I got a knee this year. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, you should have skied to Berkey a few years. So who knows? Who knows?
Well, we've been talking to Jan Horak about Berkey memories and Berkey fever, as they call it. The big Birkebeiner race is coming up next Saturday. Jan will be there along with David Eckel.
You bet.
Sure. And a number of other Cook County representatives, too. So, very interesting history with the Birkebeiner. Jan, thanks so much for coming in and sharing it with us.
Well, thank you.